Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Sarah Reynolds. And today is a bit different because I'm the only one hosting us today. I think this is the first time in our history where it's just one host. And my amazing co-hosts, Wendy, Say, and Via, have given me all the control. And so I'm excited. I was joking around saying that it was going to be a podcast full of gossip and all the stuff that you want to know about Wendy, Say, and Via. But I have something even better for our amazing listeners today, because in studio with me right now, and I love that we're in studio, we're each in front of our own computers, but this is our little studio for today. I have two very special guests. So today I have Liz Faircroft and Andressa with me today. They're amazing hosts of the Real Estate Investor Show podcast. So welcome, Liz and Andressa, to Empire Building.
Yes, so excited to be here, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes. So I'm excited to have you guys. I mean, I've listened to you multiple times. I've learned a lot from both of you. But just to tell a little bit to our listeners about you, to combined, you have 27 years of experience. And word on the streets is a portfolio of over 130 million. Is that right?
Yep.
That is amazing. 130 million in terms of their investment portfolio. So I am certainly sort of the numbers queen. I love numbers. But more than that, what I have loved is learning the mission of your podcast, which is to empower and support women who invest in real estate to live a financially free and balanced, which your mission so much aligns with what we do here, which is about having big businesses and even bigger lives. So today I get to interview the two of you, and I know that our listeners are going to learn so much. This is definitely an episode where you're going to want to get out a pen and some paper, because they are going to be dropping many gold nuggets that will impact your life in a really big way. So why don't you guys first start off and tell our listeners, maybe Liz, you start us off and tell our listeners, how did the podcast became what it is today? Like, what led you guys to start a podcast that was specific to women investing in real estate?
Yeah, absolutely. Justin and I had nothing else to do. And we're like, let's start a podcast, right? No, we, you know, and Justin and I were good friends and support each other, and actually started a women's mastermind for free. It was just something to support us ourselves. And we had a group of about six women around the country. And as we were connecting together, we then were like, let's start doing some deals together. So we were actually doing a number of flips, a number of, new construction projects together in real estate. And we'd get together. We'd meet in a Panera and just kind of share, you know, what's working in the projects, and also just share what's working in our lives. And we'd get together and we would go deep, me and Andressa. We can go deep very quickly. And we really, really appreciated that about each other. And during those conversations, we would both be like, where are all the women in this business? You know, we didn't know a lot of them. We knew a few in our mastermind. We didn't know like a community. So we started Googling it. We started looking for it. And honestly, we couldn't find it. So like most entrepreneurs, right? If you can't find something, you create it. And we said, well, how amazing would it be to create a podcast? Let's start with that, where we can interview and shine the light on women's journey, not just their investing journey, not just their making money journey, but their journey of their whole life, because our life is so much more, right?
And, so true.
And we really to live life on our own terms, and most women do. So that's kind of was the impetus. Her and I both have a shared passion for just supporting women in general, both for different reasons that dates 20 years ago. Mine coming from social work, seeing women that had a mental illness and that were abused physically and emotionally. And Andressa has her own kind of passion. So I'll let her have a moment there to jump in here. But that's a little bit about some of the first stuff that we did together and how the podcast came to be.
I love that, Liz.
We didn't plan on having a community that became a business that took a lot of, you know, our time and effort, right? It's our passion. It became our passion more so as like, it's a combination of our passion and our purpose. And that's what we live for. We breathe it. We sleep on it. Literally, we wake up and have ideas about it and all of that. For me, it got very, very deep. I got divorced. I got out of an abusive relationship. And I learned pretty quickly how important it is for a woman to be independent, financially independent. during my relationship, everything was commingled and there was no independency whatsoever, which I believe if that was not the case, I would have left much earlier. So in my head, I see it that people are in relationships that are not healthy, and they're not healthy for them. There is not healthy for the kids, but they cannot think about an exit because financially they cannot make it up in their head. How would they be able to do it? So I, my path in providing a better life for me, for my son, for my next generations, it's really like down deep. And I see that I would like to do that for other women as well through our community, through our meetups. We grew meetups across the country, 50 plus locations in the US and Canada, and build this community where women can really come, raise their hand, not feel ashamed for asking questions and get the support they need. That's all we want.
I love that. Andressa, when you were talking, it gave me chills because, you know, in your mission for your podcast and for the community, you say financial freedom, right? To be financially free. And when you hear your story, I mean, that's powerful, right? Yeah. The fact that you had to stay longer in an abusive relationship because you weren't financially free. And if you can provide, and I won't say when you can provide. You guys have already provided so much to females around the globe that will lead to financial freedom. But hearing your story and the why behind it, man, that's amazing. We are starting to see a shift, I would say, in more female investors. I was texting with Via this morning, and she's at a conference right now, and she was on a panel yesterday. Right before her panel, a female was interviewed about investing. And then she was on a panel with another powerhouse investor, also female. And she said, you know, that would have never happened, you know, a decade ago. And so you guys have certainly been sort of leading the way in that shift happening. Are you guys seeing the shift as well?
Well, it's very funny that you're mentioning that because years ago, I think about 6 years ago, something like that, we were in a conference where Liz was the only person, woman in a panel in across the board. All the other investors that I know that are really good, rock stars, high experience, I start texting them and saying, you should be on stage. Why aren't you on stage? And they were texting me saying, why aren't you on stage? So we got together for lunch that day at that conference. I remember there were three tables that we put together and start connecting with each other. And we thought, it's just not for us to be on stage just to show off or anything else. Because I had a conversation with a woman and she said, I'm good. I'm under the radar. It's fine. I was like, here's the thing. We cannot identify, right? I cannot identify with a 45-year-old male wearing a black suit on stage telling me what success looks like. Yep. That I need to spend 3 hours on my morning routine. I can't, I have kids and they wake up at night and I can't relate to that. The younger generation don't see that they can invest in real estate because they don't have models anywhere. So we need to stop being under the radar and go for it. And you know, Sarah, what Liz and I heard when we started the podcast? That we were going to run out of women to interview.
Oh.
And for that person, I say thank you for that because you put fire on me. And we have over 250 women that we interview, and we have plenty in the waiting room to be interviewed. So I don't think so. Thank you.
I love that. Oh my goodness. And that resonates with me so much. I flew under the radar too. I was having babies. I have a 9-year-old, 6-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And I was building my business and I didn't have time to really go out and speak and have time to go to all the conferences and all of those things. So a lot of times, you know, I was in the top 20 of Keller Williams for about 5 years and never once was interviewed or on a panel or spoke. And I said something about just the difference between our top companies, our top businesses being about 30% of them are female-led, in an industry that is 65% female licensees, which is the real estate industry. And, you know, Wendy actually was very direct with me. We were barely friends then, but she said to me, I don't see you stepping out and showing what can be done. It's going to take people like you speaking and showing you can have young kids and build a big business at the same time. And so that impacted me. And that's why I started speaking, is actually for that reason. So we can, the audience can really relate to everyone that's on stage, not for it not just to be one sort of segment. So I love that. Well, so let's think about, so we want more female investors, and really this whole podcast isn't just related to females in terms of empire building and things like that. But let's say the first step is for someone to get their first sort of their net worth to $1 million and or at least own at least $1 million in their portfolio for investing. What would you say to someone that is just starting, that wants to start out? What is sort of the first sort of domino that they should be focusing on?
Yeah. And, you know, it's a big question we get, right? And it's a big question. That's something we present on a lot and talk about. And so many women just jump into like markets and asset class and should I fix and flip? Should I buy a short-term rental right now? It's like the rage of wanting a vacation rental, right? I mean, everyone would raise their hand, they want a vacation rental. You know, and I think those are great things. Those are great things you have to figure out. But let's take a step back and really look at where do women want to be in 5 years? You know, what are their financial goals? What are their money goals? You know, and I think those are the harder questions, to be honest, Sarah, that people just don't ask. Because we just want to really, literally, I want to invest in real estate. What market should I go into? Great question. We could talk about that. I have plenty to tell you about that, just not the first one. So, you know, what we work really hard in our community about is helping the women in our community and in our membership too, just to like, okay, let's talk about where you want to be. You know, what stage of life are you? You know, are you someone who really wants to be hands-on? There was a point in my life that I cleaned all of our units. I did all of the showings, right? When my husband and I were building our business. In some ways, we were a little crazy because we did that hands-on too long. And that's just a little bit of something I need to work through as a leader. But in hindsight, I was hands-on. I was young. I was in my 20s. I didn't have kids. Different stage of life. So if you said to me, okay, Liz, you know, I want to get into XYZ right now and I'm in a different stage of my life, I'm not going to do that now, right? Because it's a little bit different. So I think the big questions are, you know, the five-year goals, the financial goals, your lifestyle goals. And we stand for that because this is not just about making the money. But it's about the lifestyle. You can make a lot of money and kill yourself. We all know how to do that. Women are so great at that. Yeah. A lot of women are great at that. So we don't stand for that, right? Don't come to our community for that because you can go get that anywhere. But it's really about the balance, right? And it's the lifestyle. And it's like doing it on your own terms. So just to take a step back, the money goals, where you want to be would be the keys. And then we can talk about market, active and passive. You can passively invest with people, a nice 10% return versus doing it yourself and killing yourself and making maybe even less. So again, no right and wrong. But once you figure out the path, then you can get into markets, asset class, and get specific.
Love that.
One thing that I would add, Sarah, is that women, and I hear that on our community a lot, right? Women won't take the first step if they don't see the whole path. They want to know exactly what is the roadmap, what's going to happen, and how about that, and how about that, and how about that. And they don't take that first step. That's one of the biggest hurdles. The second one is that they only think about themselves, their experience, how much money they have on their bank account, their skill sets. And that is very, you get limited, right? So what Liz and I stand for, and there is a great book that I recommend. It's called Who Not How by Dan Sullivan.
I love it.
I wish I knew that book in my 20s, but it was just released a couple of years ago. So that's okay. But for all of you that are listening, stop thinking about doing everything by yourself as a solopreneur. I don't care if you're getting started or not. It's about the circle. It's about leveraging other people's time, skill set, funding. You do not need to be good at everything. And hear me again, you do not need to improve the areas where you're not so good at.
Yes.
Focus on your strengths and look for other people that can fulfill that gap. If we have learned this a long time ago, I think that we'll be able to scale and speed up our journey much faster. And you can go on your own terms. Liz and I always say, when we say balance, right, there's a trigger for a lot of people. It's like, oh, that's BS. That's not even possible. It's whatever balance means to you, right? So it's not this formula that applies for everybody. So whatever means to you, but think about it, take the first step. How does that look like? Take the step that you see. If you see that step, take it. And then when you are in that you know, step, that area, you're going to see the next one. Really do not let you hold you back from getting started because you're thinking about the refinancing, how the refinancing process works. Hold on, you need to have a deal first, right? So women, we are sometimes so smart to our own detriment. So rely on others.
I love that. No, it's leverage and building a team is really the only way to do that, right? The only way to have freedom and the only way to build a big business and an even bigger life. And for our listeners, if what Andressa said has resonated with you, I would highly recommend to go back through our episodes. We've got multiple episodes on hiring, on how to create that not to do to where you can stay focused in sort of your sweet spot, because we're huge believers in that as well. And I love exactly what you're saying. So both of you have just built just this amazing life for yourselves, as well as an amazing portfolio. Certainly, there's probably some failures along the way, right? It's if you see someone and you think they're successful, I always say it just means they fail faster than you typically. And that doesn't mean they didn't fail. It means they fail faster. What are some things that looking back that you wish you would have done differently? Maybe Andressa, yeah, you can start.
Go ahead, Liz. How much time do we have? No, I mean, you know, there's different mistakes and different failures you have at different parts of your business too, right? And so I think early on, for me, I was so involved. We were so focused on cash flow and passive income. You know, Rich Dad Poor Dad. We were a bit naive. We were in our 20s, didn't have a lot of business acumen, but I had a lot of heart and persistence, right? So that was great.
Yep.
But in terms of just like business savviness, I wouldn't say me and my husband were like, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Business Savvy. And so why I'm saying that is I think like the financial management piece of the business and like all the really important things to run a business and to run a portfolio were kind of learned along the way. And it took longer because we didn't have those pieces. We did not lean on mentors. And it took longer, honestly. I think there's no right and wrong. There's this business. I mean, you can hire a coach tomorrow. You can hire a mentor. You can work for free, right? There's so many different ways to kind of cut the, what's it called? You know, when you're doing a shortcut. But we didn't. You know, I think that was part of who we are as people. We're very hard workers. And we're like, we're going to figure this out. And we did, right? And you eventually do. But I'm really mindful of that now. I can sometimes get into that again, where the next stage is, right? Where we're trying to grow something with InvestHer, or we're shifting here or there. And I don't want to repeat the same mistake. So you're very mindful of those mistakes or those quote unquote failures. I don't know if that's a failure, but it was a big one that for us, at least, that in hindsight, we would have probably propelled our growth a little faster, I think, at the beginning. We probably would have made less mistakes and probably lost less money. But again, all good material for podcasts and growth and learning and teaching that I do. So I think it all happened for a reason, to be honest.
It always does.
But I think that was a big one. I think we try to like, that's why we're so committed, Andressa and I are like, don't be a solopreneur, right? I was so good at going alone. And then I was a consultant. I did so well and getting paid well to do it myself, literally. So when you do that and you're in that behavior, it really takes a lot to get out of that behavior, right? Because you have to like learn a new way of being. You know, it's not you. It's us and the team. And I got to let go and figure out how we're going to make that work. So that was one big thing for me.
So good. What about you, Andressa?
For me, well, I was trained to be very independent since young age. I was born in Brazil. I went to high school in another town at 14 years old, and I came to my parents with this like plan. Oh, this is going to be the cost, this is where I'm going to live and all of that. And then I went to college and moved to the US by myself. When I got into real estate, I started flipping and I got this hype, right? As if I was doing drugs compared to it. I never did drugs. I don't know how it is, but I assume that you get this adrenaline of getting a property and selling it. So I thought, okay, this is cool. And this is what happiness looks like. So let me just start doing multiple. And I got to like 15 at the same time and doing everything mostly myself under my belt. I was not doing the project. Don't get me wrong. I can swing a hammer, but I was managing everything. And then I started realizing it that I was not getting it. It was just, I didn't even want to go to closing. It doesn't matter. I already know what's going to happen and we're going to switch keys and whatever it is. I just like, okay, I don't even want to attend. It just became transactional to me. And then you go to that point that you're like, wait a minute. I need to go inside, really figure it out who I am, what I want, because it's not the quantity. It's not the number of doors. It's not the check that I get at the end. It's just a check with numbers that I put it in my bank account and it's there. And I start changing it. So Liz and I really went down to really our personality, right? What is it? What are our strengths? And the self-development that we have done certain things together, certain things separate in different times of our lives, but the commitment that we have when there's breakdowns and then we look at it, we get the lesson in it, and then we move along. It goes back to the tools that we gain with self-development. And I wish I have done this very early, because many times the feeling, it was me. I couldn't blame. Can I blame a general contractor from stealing the money from me? Yeah, but that's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
Right? What can I take responsibility for? What can I put in place? So it's from taking the blame on others for what's happening in your life and take full ownership of everything. Then there's no failure. If you look at that way, it's
true.
All lessons. It's yep. All lessons necessarily for your experience. And sometimes the universe, you say, oh, yeah, I want to become financially free. And then the universe says, okay, great. I'm going to train you. I'm going to give you a really bad general contractor that's going to teach you a couple of lessons that are needed for you. So it's like, huh. And for all you that are listening, you might say, oh, but it's not good when it's happening. Yeah. But when you're conscious about that, then things change. And then you go through it without resistance and you learn the lesson, and that lesson does not happen again.
As a leader, it can be lonely. You're ready to grow and you realize you need the right community to get you there. With Empire Circle, you'll be surrounded by driven, adventurous women who want more in business and in life. You'll get real-time feedback, personalized guidance, and honest advice from seasoned leaders who have built businesses and net worths in the hundreds of millions, all while living their big lives. If this sounds like the fuel you need to level up your business and your life, Empire Circle is absolutely for you. You can get more information at herbestlife.com by clicking on Empire Circle. Come and let's build your empire together.
I love that. That resonates with me in terms of, you know, not having a victim mentality, right? Being accountable to our own decisions. You know, it's so important with everything we do to make sure, you know, it's no one else's fault but ours. Typically, we all have DNA in no matter what has occurred. And so what is the lesson that we need to learn from that? That's so awesome. Where do you guys see sort of the future opportunity going? Prices obviously have increased and are increasing pretty quickly. You know, there's a lot of speculation on how long that's going to continue, but where do you see things going future-wise in terms of?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many people. I was on a webinar the other night and the person said, is this a good time to invest in real estate, right? And you know, in 16 years, I've gotten that question right before the crash, right? No, wait, was this a good time to buy real estate? And then 2010 and 2005 at the height of the market, right? So you can literally take that question out of context and never be like, okay, what's the answer to that? I think Audrey would probably agree with me, but there's always a good time to buy. There's always deals to be had. There's always opportunity. Now, because it's a hot market, right? Interest rates are going up. You know, I know people who are starting out investing right now having a really hard time finding deals. So yeah. That's real, right? There's not a ton of foreclosures that you could just jump into. So these are all real things happening, depending if you're single family focused or if you're focused on large multi. Our team underwritten 200 deals in a year and closed on like four buildings, right? So that's a lot. And we're an experienced team, right? It's not like we're new to this. So I say that because, and we just closed our largest project to date in the 16 years. So I say that because there's projects to be had, there's deals to be had. I'm a big fan of multifamily just because that's the most of our experience. And if you're in a market where it is growing, and rents are going up, it's going to hedge against interest rates. Again, I'm not an economist, but I do know if there's a growing market and you're providing affordable housing and you're not the most expensive, you're not giving the most expensive product in the area, you're hedging against something happening in the world that people can't afford to live there. That's what I do know in what I, the 16 years, what market to be in, what have you, that's something else to measure. But so yes, I do think it's a good time. I think it's hard for those newer people that are like, you know, I've done fourplexes and I want to get to larger stuff and I'm getting outbid by all these other people. And I said the other night, and I'll say it right here, that these are the times that you need to think about, how can I mentor with an experienced team? How can I learn right now? How can I maybe passively invest with someone, learn under their dime, learn under their you know, team? It could be a small multifamily investor. It doesn't have to be a huge team. But in your local market, somebody you respect, somebody you like, they all need something. Take anyone that's growing their market, I'm sorry, growing their portfolio, and they need something. So, you know, there's, my point is that it shouldn't stop you because it's a hot market and you're getting outbid. Then go find something else that is, people are closing deals and see how you can help them. Because that is happening right now. I can give you a long list of people who are closing deals left and right. So if you're not, look in the mirror and say, how can I contribute to someone else? And
I
learn
love
along
that.
The way. Plus it's less risk, quite honestly. Because you do have to conservatively underwrite right now. You do have to be careful. You don't want to be like, if this happens, this happens, this happens, and this happens, it's going to be a great deal. That's not going to be a great deal. Those are speculative. Do not want to get into projects like that right now, obviously. You want to go, if half of my tenants move out, I can make my requirements and my debt and pay my investors. That's a better situation. And those are harder to find if you're not, you know, working with commercial brokers. So I just say, don't let it stop you. Figure out how you can get into this game some way, because there's always a way.
I love that. I love that. Let's shift the conversation a bit. So you both are running your big business. You have a team. You have the podcast. You have the community. And you're both, I think, Liz, you run like triathlons or, I mean, you're busy. Used to. Okay.
But thank you. Every day. I do run. I do run though.
That's a big deal. I mean, that takes time, right? So all of the things that sort of were pulled in so many different directions, how do you sort of juggle it all in terms of handling everything? How do you have any form of balance, Andressa?
Well, and I am a single mom. And my family lives in Brazil. And my mom moved here to support me. But right now she is there enjoying the sunny days and pools. So I said, don't send me pictures. Thank you very much. Right? But it's a learning curve. It's a learning curve that as we grow our business, I don't have unlimited time. But I can buy people's time. And I need to unlearn, Sarah, a lot of things that I learned, right? Things that I am really good at, but I shouldn't be doing because it's just not worth my time. Liz and I, when we say that we are committed to women to become financially free, me making slides won't do that, right?
Yeah.
Me painting a wall won't do that. So her and I strategically, where are we spending our time? It's to grow the company. How can we serve? How can we have the time here to sit down and talk to you, to have a call with Wendy and really talk business and support each other and go to the conferences and really like inspire, not just inspire, but give women strategic ways that they can move along. That's where I should be spending my time. It's a learning curve. There's no a recipe that I can just spit it out, but I need to often be aware of it. That's the number one thing, right? If you're aware of it, if you have a circle of people that you can be accountable for, right? Liz, I always say to her, and she says to me, should you be doing this or should we delegate it? Okay, now let's delegate that. That is out of our plate. We're out of that. But it's not, it doesn't happen like that, right? I'm addicted to doing things by myself. So I had to go through that rehab process of letting go of a lot of things. And as my child grows from a baby to a toddler to now a first grader, I have different things that I need to navigate. But the only thing is that I don't need to figure out by myself, right? Balance to me looks like when I'm here with you, with Liz, and with all of you that are listening, I'm 100% here. I'm 100% here. I'm 100% present. When I am with my son, I'm 100% present. That's all I can say to you. There are days, Liz and I, we work very, very hard. And those are days that are, when we say balance, it doesn't mean like, oh, 50% here for my professional life and 50% for my personal life. That's not what I'm aiming for. I want an imbalanced life from the sense that there are days, I don't know, Monday, I could be at the beach having a margarita, but I don't drink. So like a margarita without alcohol, I guess. Who cares, right? But there are days that
I'll drink for you.
Yeah, I'll just, let's go. But we can be at a conference and work really mindfully working all day in a conference in a Sunday. So it is not this mentality that, oh, it's Monday to Friday we are professionals and then Saturday and Sunday we are family. That doesn't work for me. But whatever works for all of you, create what works for you. Don't follow anybody saying, oh, you should or you shouldn't. Just create what works for you. And if something is not working, Liz and I have strategic meetings every single month in person. And we start with what's working, what's not working. Mm. And you can apply that with your partners, with your spouse, with your family, with your kids. What's working, what's not working? So you can reset and create what works for you and for your family.
I love that. We have found, you know, that so many times with female empire builders, so many times the first sort of leverage or help that they need is actually at home. Liz, is there maybe one thing that you have sort of leveraged at home that could help some of our listeners get off your plate at home that would help them be able to leverage in their life too?
Yeah. So I'm definitely a work in progress when it comes to leverage. Wendy would agree with that. All my conversations I've had with Wendy. You know, it's funny, you know, growing, I think it all comes back to like to how you're reminded of how you became who you are. And so as I had a hard time letting go, I'm like, you know, you start to watch what do your parents do, you know, and what did you learn? The good things and the things that, you know, they didn't do. So one thing my dad always did was, you know, cut the lawn, mow the lawn. And when we moved, you know, our first house didn't have any grass, so we didn't have to worry about that. When we moved, it was funny because, like, not to be stereotypical, but all of my neighbors who were the men were all cutting their lawns and me. It was like me and the guys, which was great. We'd leave, we'd talk about the grass. It's like you're in, like, you know what to talk about. Oh, the edging's a little hard today. Like, it's just like little mini culture in my neighborhood,
my gosh.
Right? Which I kind of enjoy because I love my neighbors are great. So, anyway, you know what? It's like an hour and a half. And I was like really tired one day. I was busy. We had like a few events, you know, Andres and I, I'm like, we just did like, it was like a 3-day thing we did. And I'm like, I don't feel like cutting the grass today. And I actually kind of enjoyed it. But that day I didn't. And it started to wane on me. And I'm like, I don't enjoy this anymore. And I'm like, well, how much does it cost? That's usually my first question, which I'm getting better with, quite honestly, is what's the investment here? What's my time investment?
Yes, yes.
I had to learn that as I navigated my 40s, you know, I didn't do that in my 30s, and then I looked into it. I'm like, this isn't the bad, you know, he charged me $100 for two cuts. I could do that, you know, and then you get excited about it. You're like, God, I haven't looked back on the grass in a year and a half. And I'm like, I waved to them. They waved to me. I'm great. I love it. I don't need to ever do that again in my life. Why did I wait that long? Cleaning my house was the next thing. I like to clean. I'm a little weird. I really like to clean. I like to clean. I'm not a control person. And I'm like, and as I'm talking, I'm like, oh, a little control person. There's varying degrees of control people. But anyway, long story short, I ended up getting a cleaner as well. I was like, well, what's this going to cost? Is this worth my time? Is it really that big of a deal? You know, we don't have a huge home, but it really does take a lot of time. And I'm like, can she come every week? She comes every other week. And then my new thought is like, can she come every week?
Exactly. You know?
And the next thing is I'm like, laundry. Maybe that's something I can outsource. What does that look like? What does that cost? Can we make it work? So when you start to leverage, if I can let go of something, anyone listening to this can and figure it out financially. You can barter with people. My brother-in-law told me one time, he's like, I bartered. I coached them for an hour and they cleaned my house. So there's no excuse, even if there's no money transfer, right?
I love
that. It's nice to pay people because sometimes you're like, all right, this isn't working. I need to fire you. This isn't working. So yeah, laundry is my new thing. But I think leverage is huge and you become more excited about it once you start to do it. It's a habit.
So there's a new laundry leverage app I just heard about where they'll come pick it up, wash it, and then bring it back clean. We'll make sure to put it in the show notes. I can't remember what it's called. I think Seychelles.
That's the laundry.
It's funny that you guys saying this because yesterday I had this conversation with a friend of mine, Beverly, and it's called Laundry Nest. And they
Laundry
come
Nest.
Pick it up and give it back and fold it and everything. Because I learned about laundry. I learned about laundry. People, I know what laundry is. Let me just clarify. I learned about laundromat this past week. I moved to my new house and my washer and dryer are not ready for me. So I was like, what am I going to do with this laundry? And then I researched around, found laundromat. And I had to call the person because, listen, I've looked at laundromats to buy as a business, but I have no idea if I should bring a coin, a credit card, or do I bring
how it
a,
works.
What people do when they're waiting from their, I can't just sit still and watch Jerry, whatever that thing is that they're fighting against each other.
No. We don't want you to learn that at all. None
right.
of our listeners
I was
would
like
to know how to do that.
Right. So I called them and they said, would you like to drop it off? Everyone's like, what do you mean? You mean that I can just go drop it off and you clean it and then you fold it and now go pick it up? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, how much does that cost? And she said, $1 and something. I was like, per piece? She's like, no, honey, per pound. I was like, per pound?
That's awesome.
That's so cheap. And it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, go for it.
The time for your time, the dollar per hour for your time, what you just replaced by doing that is huge. And that's really
huge.
What you need to look at is your dollar per hour, what you can do, and then pay others to do any item that's a lower dollar per hour, right? Now, I know we need to wrap this up, but I want to make sure our listeners know you guys have a big event coming up, I think on June 23rd through the 24th. I believe Wendy is going to be a guest speaker at the event.
Yes.
Tell our listeners about this event.
Yes. So we have the InvestorCon 2022 in Charlotte, North Carolina on June 23rd and 24th. And I can tell you how excited we are about it. This is beyond your traditional real estate conference. This is a full circle transformation experience where we have 5 keynotes led by Kim Kiyosaki and Wendy. Papasan is going to be there as well. And we have 20 sessions with the most powerful women in real estate that we know. We handpick them. And it goes from building your RV park to out-of-state investing. And we are really heavy, Sarah, in mindset. We do believe we need to talk about it. And how can you build a team? How can you fire yourself, right? Wendy always says that. How can you fire yourself? And one thing that we are doing here is a mindful networking. We are gathering people to really make deeper connections that goes beyond this event, because that's what women need and wanted, those deeper connections. Not like, okay, what do you do? I'm an investor. Give me your business card and vice versa. We really want to be mindful of that. And we are putting breaks for women. Breaks in between so we can either connect with others. If you want to take a nap, you take a nap. We have a mom's room for those that need to breastfeed. So it's really a conference made for women. We thought about their needs, their schedule, and we invite everybody to join us. It's going to be very, very transformational.
How did they find more out about it? Like, how do they go if they're interested in going June 23rd and 24th to Charlotte, North Carolina?
They can find more information on our website, therealestateinvestor.com/investherCon, or go to Instagram at therealestateinvesther, H-E-R.
Love that. Love that. How else can our listeners follow you guys? Or obviously you guys can listen. Our listeners can listen to your amazing. I've gotten so much value from listening. And so just thank you for that. But how else can they follow you in terms of on Instagram or on social media? What's the best way for them to learn more from you guys?
Yeah. Sure. You know, Instagram is obviously a great way to follow us. We do a lot of free events. So I would say one would be to definitely just join our Facebook community. It's a free community. We have 10,000 women and we fiercely guard that Facebook community. So it is not a random Facebook community, people putting up random things. And if we do, Andres and I on like a Saturday afternoon talk about balance, we're like, what? Take it, you know, we take it down. We guard that group very well. And we have such wonderful women who jump in. We know the names because we've gotten to know so many women. And it's really women who literally don't have to work another day in their life or starting out in their journey. And they're all supporting each other. So highly recommend, post a question, get involved, and it's free. So that's just one thing I want to mention. The second thing is that we do beyond the meetups, which are phenomenal local communities. You can check out if your local community has a local investor meetup. If they don't, we're open to having you start one. So certainly you could check that out on our website. But thirdly, we do events every week, through Zoom. They're free events. We just talked about raising capital as an introvert. Camilla Jeffs was on last night. We had about 100 women on answering questions, supporting them. We always recommend if they don't get their question answered there, bring the conversation to the Facebook community, tag us. We will answer it. I really mean that sincerely. So Sarah, there's a lot of ways to connect with us. And obviously we have different ways to support women, but we're very committed to that ongoing support.
I love that. And we'll go ahead and put the links to all of those things in our show notes so that our listeners can connect with you guys. So I know for those that got out their pen and paper today that you guys have pages of notes just as I do. My remarkable notebook is full today, but my big takeaways are really a lot about mindset, not being sort of a victim, looking at things. I mean, even the start of Investher came through you saw a problem and that you were willing to step up and solve that problem. Thinking long-term instead of just thinking of what's the first thing I need to do? Think long-term. What are your long-term goals? Was a huge sort of golden nugget. Lean on mentors, right? So making sure that we can learn from other mentors, focusing on our strengths, looking at rents are going to hedge against interest rates and inflation. And so looking at multifamily as an option for investing. And then continuing to ask what's working, what's not working. And then, of course, always looking at your time investment. What is the investment? Instead of looking at it, what something costs, ask what's the investment to get your time back. And then getting involved in this amazing community to learn and grow your net worth. But thank you guys so much for joining me today. I learned so much from both of you. And I want to encourage both of you, as well as our listeners, to continue to have a big business, but an even bigger life. So thank you guys for being here. Bye,
thank
guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Sarah.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.